307 here at Kate Radio. It is a Tuesday, and that means our good friend Tom Jones. Jonesy joins us on the Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, a good afternoon. How's the day going so far?
Hey, it's a wonderful day to be in Elberly. Nice 70-some degrees, and you can't beat it.
Well, let's jump right into it. I want to talk a little bit about the volleyball team, because I know you keep track of that, and you follow the Elberly volleyball team. They got a home matchup tonight, and I'm looking at our prep schedule. Like, all the area teams are at home tonight. So if you're looking for a matchup here in Fribourne County, Alden Congress at home, Glenville Emmons at home, Albert Lee's at home, it's a perfect night to get out there and cheer on your favorite school.
Yeah, it sure is. I'm not sure who the Tigers play, unfortunately.
Winona.
I don't know, Aaron, did you get word of the timing change of the games tonight for the under games?
I did not, no.
Okay, I'll see if I can pull that up. But it's going to be fun. They have first games are at 5 o'clock. Hopefully I can find this email here. And maybe not. But here it is. Okay. 5 o'clock, 9A, and the B squad will play. Now, B squad normally doesn't play till 6. And then at 6 o'clock, the 9B and the JV will play. And then at 7:15, varsity will follow. So the big difference is the B squad playing at 5 o'clock from the email I got. And I work at the Tiger volleyball game, so we will look forward to a game tonight here. They've been playing pretty well. They won those couple games last week and tonight. Now it's another week, and we'll see how they do. It's that frat night tonight. So I've got my plaid shorts ready and my pink shirt and my penny loafers, and I'm going to be dressed as a frat boy. So
are you really?
I never obviously was in a frat when I was young 40 years ago in college, but thought I could do my share tonight.
When I think of frats, the only thing I think of is Animal House. Takes me right back to that movie.
I think of Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, you know,
both of those from
you're
that
right.
Same
you're
time
right.
Frame.
But Revenge of the
yeah,
Nerds.
Yeah, I actually looked up pictures online of how a frat boy should dress, and I think I'm going to be doing okay. So I'll send you a picture of it.
Are you going the sporty way, like the one frat
Absolutely.
Was in Revenge
Absolutely.
Of the Nerds? You're not going the other way? Not going the nerds way?
No, I'm going pink plaid shorts with a pink polo and some slip-on loafers, and I think I'll do okay.
Should be a fun night out at the high school. Again, the varsity game starts at 7:15. Winona, the Windhawks, are in town. And Jonesy, it's hard to believe we are in the playoff stretch already for fall sports. Girls and boys soccer teams both on the road in action tonight. Volleyball before you know it, cross country. And, you know, football playoffs 2 weeks from tonight. The postseason starts for football. Fall season, it goes really quick, and especially when it's kind of back to what I would call normal, you know, before COVID, this fall season has definitely flown by.
Oh, man, has it ever. You know, we've had such great weather for Friday night football games, two in a Saturday afternoon, and the Elberly Tigers with the East the other night, I know they were probably disappointed a little bit that they lost that game. I think they had that circled as a game that they could potentially win if they played everything right, and but it was a fun game to be a part of, and they play Byron this week, which is going to be a tough one, and then Austin the following week, and I think Austin's another one. We've got to circle and say, hey, we play our game. We're going to win this. And while we're talking Elberly football, I just want to say congratulations to the ninth graders. They won again last night. They played East. They won 14-12. They got up 14-0 in the first half and held on and played some just the game the way it's supposed to be played. There's guys hitting left and right for us, and we are making some great catches. We got to see the Tolbers quarterback that we've called his name so many times in varsity games this year play all four quarters, and he did a great job. And East got the ball back and with half of the fourth quarter left, and we held him on downs and got the ball back. And so I think they've got at least three, maybe four wins this year. So we got some good things coming up. And a lot of those guys, too, have been getting a cup of coffee with the varsity on Friday nights. So we'll look forward to what we can see in the future there for that.
Jonesy, I want to bring up your comment on Facebook the other night when I posted the score for the Albert Lee game. Tigers got beat by Mankato East 33-7. And, you know, anytime you put something on social media, someone sees a score and there's there's going to be some negative reaction going, okay, they lost. They haven't won a game all season. I liked your post talking about the Booster Club, because for anyone that's ever negative towards high school sports, my opinion's always going to be it's high school kids. They're out there participating. They're out there trying. They could be doing something else after school, because we know today's high school kids are very, very busy, but they choose to participate in sports. And I like the comment you made about, you know, the Booster Club serving food after the game. I just thought that was a great comment because, again, there's a final score. And a lot of people concentrate on the final score, but sometimes we forget about everything that makes a team go, from the players to the coaches to the Booster Club. There's so many people involved, and sometimes we got to take a pause and not worry about the score or worry about the records and go, wow, what these parents, these coaches, what these players are doing week after week. We need to appreciate the hard work that is done.
No doubt. And I got to ride up to the game with Dakota Yankee's mom and dad. And they're, I don't know if they're president of the Booster Club or what it was, but I had a text from them from the press box after the game saying, hey, we're going to be behind the bus. And I just thought maybe that was a good meeting point. Well, I got to the bus there on the side of East, and here they are with 14, 15 pizzas they had delivered from Domino's that the Booster Club had purchased. And I'm sitting in the back seat of their car, and I'm watching their son Dakota walk by. And Dakota, on that second to the last play before he ran that touchdown in, had really gotten his left shoulder smacked. And as he was walking, he looked pretty beat with that shoulder. And that just dawned on me. You know, here's a guy on a Friday night. Mom and dad have gone out of their way to be in the Booster Club. The kids have all sold Tiger cards, which I might note are still available at Home Federal. I just bought mine finally the other day, $10, greatest deal in the world. And I thought, you know what, this is a story to be told. And so I put that on there, not saying win or lose or anything, but it's a community effort on a Friday night with the all the pizzas that they had and the money that they raised, and watching him come off with a slight shoulder injury. And I just thought it was a neat post to put on, and it did get quite a few likes on that and some comments. And I was very, very proud to watch those boys go by that night. Just like you said, Aaron, they could be doing a lot of other things on a Friday night. And here they are in Mankato, cold night, first cold night of the year for football, and got beat. I'm sure they were down a little bit. They thought they might be able to win that one. But just a neat thing.
When it comes to criticism of sports, I've always been in the camp, Jonesy, where high school sports, you leave it alone. They're high school kids. They're high school kids. You leave it alone. You're just happy they're out there participating. You get to Division I college, and they start getting scholarships, and they can start turning on some criticism a little bit because they're getting their education paid for. And then you get to the pros, where they're making bazillion dollars. Then you can criticize, I think, all you want because they are high-profile paid players. That's always been my thoughts when it comes to people making comments about if it's high school or college or professional. I mean, professional athletes, they get criticism because they're paid a lot to do their job. High school athletes, again, they're our kids. They're our cousins, our neighbors, whatever the case might be. And any kind of criticism towards a high school sports program or a high school coach or a kid, I've never, ever been a fan of that.
Oh, for sure. You know, you can dip down into the collegiate level now where some of your star football players are doing autograph signings, and I know that last year Tanner Morgan did one, a paid autograph signing, and this year the running back for the Gophers, he was doing one, or is about to do one, at Fan HQ in Eden Prairie. So they're getting a little money on, they're able to get money on the extra side. And I'm not so sure that's not wrong, because these guys they can't have a job if they're a Division I athlete. And
correct.
Sure, you get your school paid for, but my goodness, there's birthday presents for mom and dad and gas for your cars and food and on a Friday night after a game. And there's just so many things that you're not getting paid for that. And I'm sure a lot of people are saying, I shouldn't be able to do that. But I can see where that's the case in the case of a superstar athlete. But, yeah, high school athletes, these kids are out playing their guts off. And mom and dad are paying that $150 per season for them to play. And they're giving up their after schools, and they've got to become what they call student athlete. And
yeah.
I know you still run that Mike Grimm commercial on Kate there for the importance of being a student athlete, I believe. And I can certainly live that with my family, having two kids that are high school varsity athletes this year in Albert Lea here. So But yeah, it's definitely hands off at the high school level. Those guys, even for the coaches too, my goodness, they're out there and they don't make a lot of money to coach.
No.
And they're giving up every day for practice. Like yesterday now, the ninth grade game, all the coaches were in the Gus building out there and they were watching video, and I think they finally came out. I suppose it was 5:30, quarter to 6, after everybody had gone home except for the ninth grade game. And so they're given a lot of time there. And when they're not doing that, they're on the sports huddle watching the next team they're playing, and they're not getting paid for sitting at home watching a huddle. And it's not only football, it's all the sports, obviously.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Kate Radio. And turning our attention towards baseball, and I do want to mention the Phillies are up 7-3 over Atlanta and the 7th. Seattle leads Houston early 4-0, bottom of the second in game one of those league division series, a best of five series. The Twins, it sounds like, Jonesy, if you did not hear, it sounds like they're going to keep Rocco. It sounds like there's going to be no staff changes. They got rid of their athletic trainer. I guess somebody had to be responsible or take the blunt of guys being hurt this year, but they got rid of their athletic trainer. But at least reports are saying that it sounds like the Twins are not planning any other kind of moves when it comes to the coaching staff.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, but that's been kind of sneaking its way through Facebook here the last few days. And the trainer, I think, certainly is the one you're going to have to point your finger at. And training is such an interesting thing. I mean, you look at the Twins had a trainer, Aaron, probably before you were on, named Dick Martin, and Dick was a trainer forever for the Twins. And then they've had, since when Dick retired, they've gone through, I suppose, every 3, 4, or 5 years maybe, new trainers, and we just don't seem to have a consistency at that position in the organization from my perspective. But you look at the pitching, you look at the ERA of the top 10, 12 pitchers for the team, it's 4.5 and under, and mostly under 4. So I can't fault the pitching staff at one bit. I mean, sure, you'd give a reliever that gave up a run here and there, very critical times. But looking at those ERAs, I don't know if you can pull it up there to help us, but it's been, I thought their pitching actually was pretty good this year. A lot of people will probably argue with me on that. Their situational hitting, I think that was certainly a big area that needs to be improved on. And the other thing is, too, is I still like small ball. You get that guy on first and nobody out, you got to bunt him over in a tight game. And you look at these playoff games now, they all, for the most part, especially when you get to World Series, you see a lot of small ball being played, and you say to yourself, maybe we need to be doing that. And one thing I think you and I both agree on is that silly softball rule that you start at second base in the 10th inning, that's eliminated for next year. And I thought that was such an advantage for the team batting first. But whatever it is, and we'll continue on, and hopefully the Twins have a better year next year.
Yeah, 3.98 ERA as a team, which I don't think is horrible. I mean, I don't think that's, you know, you should be able to score more than 4 runs a game and win a lot of games, I would think. I don't think that's horrible. And they had a couple of guys that were in the lower threes. And, you know, starting pitching-wise, a Joe Ryan at 3.55, a Devin Smeltzer, 3.71. Sonny Gray had an ERA of 3.08. So, like you mentioned, the pitching staff wasn't the problem. I'm still going to go back, and we've talked about this before, Jonesy, the lack of a full spring training. I think it hurt so many teams more than others because we're all habits of routine. And professional athletes, they have habits of this is how they get ready for every single season. And with spring training, a good portion taken away from them, I think some guys, they just never got their bodies probably in the shape that they needed to be to withstand 162 games.
You know, it's interesting. And if you talk to Neil Pearce out in Alden, who might be listening right now, and he goes down every year for spring training, and he always calls me up about every 3 or 4 days. And one thing he always told me is that the big guys never get much action down there in the spring. They don't want to obviously get them hurt. And so you have to ask yourself, too, not only this year because of the short season, but even in years past, I think the bigger players need to get more reps. They don't go in road games or things like that. And so I think the whole thing needs to be looked at, to be honest with you. And you got to get these pitchers spread out more than 5 innings. But when you're looking at the playoffs here, mostly starters are going 5 innings. But to me, that takes so much on your bullpen. If you have to go through 4 or 5 relief pitchers, and then the next day you've got to go back out and try to go back. And guys like Johan Duran, who's throwing, 102, 103 mile an hour for the Twins. He's not going to be able to go two days in a row. And everything is so based on the power pitcher out of the bullpen, too. I don't think that helps anybody.
Jonesy, you have any particular teams that you're cheering for now that we're down to the final eight?
I still think Cleveland's still alive. I believe they had a big win to advance. Am I right on that?
Correct. Yep. They start their series with the Yankees tonight.
Okay. And I'm so kind of out of it. Seattle's in the National League. No, they're still in the American League.
Yep. They're leading Houston right now 4-0 in game one.
So I've got Seattle and Seattle and Cleveland, I should say, going for the American League championship. National League, I think the Padres are the one to watch right now. I think they just won and they advanced, and you have to help me out on that one, too.
Yeah, the Padres start their series against the Dodgers tonight. They have game one against.
That's going to be a great one to watch.
Well, those two teams dislike each other to begin with. Those fan bases dislike each other.
Yep. About 100 miles separates those two towns. And the Dodgers, of course, with their storied history going back into Brooklyn. And that's going to be a great series. But I just like Seattle. For some reason, San Diego seems to be playing really good ball right now. And I'm gonna pick them to come out of the National League enough. So I'm going to go right now, write it down, San Diego and Cleveland in the World Series. And I'm sure I'll be wrong.
San Diego and Cleveland, okay. At the beginning of the postseason, I went with the Astros and the Dodgers, with the Dodgers winning it, just because they have so much pitching. And those payrolls are so high.
Do.
I mean, it's hard. I mean, I like picking underdogs. And I still think of Cleveland. I picked them as a sleeper. And it's weird because they are a rival team to both the Twins and the White Sox. But we mustn't, as fans of our respective teams, dislike Cleveland. Because I think a lot of Twins fans and White Sox fans are kind of pulling for the Guardians, which is weird. Because a lot of times you cheer against division rivals.
Yeah, one of the reasons I like Cleveland, first of all, I think Terry Francona is a tremendous manager, and you've heard me talk about that before on your show here. But I also like the fact that I think their payroll is like $68 million or something. It's probably half of what a lot of these other teams are. So they've got a lot of young, hungry players wanting to play baseball, playing it the right way. And for that reason, I'm hoping Cleveland makes the World Series.
And I think they have one of the biggest droughts when it comes to winning a World Series. I think it's been forever that the Indians have the Guardians have won.
That's right. It can't be the Indians or the Guardians, if I can ever get used to that.
Jonesy, anything you want to add before we let you go?
Can't really think of anything. We're just look forward to the last home game here on Friday night, and let's get out and really support this team and get hopefully very competitive, maybe get a win against Byron and then bring that into Austin next week. And I know there's been times where we've played Austin in the past, and they've been the favorite team, and especially playing over in Austin where we've knocked them off and kind of pulled off an upset. And next thing you know, we've got some Sunday night open gyms that have been going for basketball, and I know there's some early bird hockey camps going for the hockey kids, and it's going to be winter sports. And I know you talked about the other night, girls hockey first game is probably about a month away, so we're ready to roll with not only the fall but the winter.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, I'll see you at the Gus on Friday. And like always, thanks for the conversation.
You bet. Everybody have a great week. Thanks.